You know, some people hesitate to hire a business coach when they know they really need one because they're afraid their business is too messy. It's kind of like avoiding going to the doctor because they might find something wrong. Well, today's guest for this client success story episode is Steph Cottrell, who hired me earlier this year to help her scale her business. But what happened next was completely unexpected. For anyone feeling burned out, stuck, or facing unanticipated detours, remember, you don't have to do this alone, and growth does not always mean more. So Steph, this is a conversation that I have been looking forward to for a while, not because it is going to be easy or fun, but because it is so damn relatable for what so many people are going through right now. And because this is a client success story, naturally, we're going to talk about your success and the work that we did together. But the backdrop of that was you hired me in January 2025. Not so many months ago, to help you grow and scale your business. But within a couple of coaching calls, things started taking a different direction. So why don't we get in the Wayback Machine, go there, and then bring the listeners forward.
It sounds like a plan. It was definitely a twist in the story I don't think any of us saw coming.
You came with a very successful business that you were very fortunate to have, repeat business, referral business, and you were collaborating with other people who, I like to think of this as a team without walls. So you have your own business and the other people you were collaborating with also had their own businesses. But I quickly began to discover that instead of what I would call a true collaboration, you were the one bringing in the business and doing most of the work, doing most of the marketing, doing all of the selling, and really kind of feeding work to these other collaborators like Mama Bird feeds her baby. So when that became apparent on, I think, our second conversation, we started having some uncomfortable questions and answers. What do you remember about that?
I remember coming into the coaching with you as just this sort of next step in my momentum forward. You know, things had been going really well in 2024 and I, you know, was tired and feeling a little exhausted, but I was like, you know, hey, that's just because you're building a business. That's, you know, par for the course. But as we started talking, I realized that I had probably taken on about 90% of the work in this trio that I was operating in. And the biggest part of that being not only the sales aspect, but then the entire project management aspect as well. So not only was I getting the clients and the work in, I was having to see every aspect of every piece of the work all the way through to the end of the project. And as we talked more and you asked more questions, I just kind of realized that, oh, hey,
oh,
I'm
shit.
Doing all the work and I'm only getting like a third of the benefit of that. So maybe I want to pause here and take a little think and figure out what do I see coming next with this collaborative team.
Yep. And it's one of the reasons why I do a very thorough job of screening my clients, because I know that there are going to be some uncomfortable truths that are going to be surfaced. We all have blind spots. We all have biases, and the vast majority of us, and us entrepreneurs, small business owners, creatives, independent professionals with ADHD traits, the vast majority of us have some pretty shitty boundaries. We often give other people more credit than they deserve. We like this idea of all for one and one for all. We're all row, row, row your boat together. But when we look a little closer, it's like, wait a minute, you're kind of like that kid in middle school who everybody wanted to do the group project with because they knew they could just kick back. You would do all the frickin' work and they could share in your A. And that's what came true. And what I think was difficult and really to your credit, and also our relationship was very new at that point. Like, you had a positive impression of me seeing me on the Attitude Magazine webinar and decided to reach out. We had a consultation. We decided to work together. We got started. Everything was positive. You were optimistic. I was optimistic. And then I'm like, hey, wait a minute. I would love to help you scale your business. This is super exciting. You had the right attitude, the right motivation. You were resourceful, resilient. You were ready to do the work. It was all green lights all the way down the road. But then I'm like, wait a minute. If we scale this business as it is, we're going to be scaling exhaustion. We're going to be scaling overwhelm. We're going to be scaling fatigue. We're going to be scaling resentment. And what you've been willing to tolerate up until now, which is you doing most of the work, I don't think you were even aware of because you were so used to doing it. And I forget what you referred to it. I think you referred to it as the day I burst your bubble or something along those lines. And you needed to take a minute, like a couple of weeks, to process that. Because it changed everything about how you felt, not necessarily about yourself as a business owner, but about those relationships, which had gone on for quite a while.
Yeah, they were both very lengthy relationships in my life and in my business life. And you're correct. I do refer to it as the day Diane burst my bubble. It was a shock, really. Like, I hung up the phone and I was like, oh, wait. And it did. It took me a couple of weeks to really process through what we had talked about and kind of what you had uncovered, because I couldn't not agree with it. It was fact. It was what I was experiencing. And as you said, scaling that business meant scaling my own detriment. And it was like, well, I don't want to do that. Like, I want to be on a more positive path and a more stable one moving forward, because I definitely was feeling all of that burnout and exhaustion from the year prior, where I had essentially doubled the revenue that my company brought in. I didn't get to keep all that because there were two other people involved, but right. I had worked hard and accomplished that. And I was tired getting all those projects sold and then getting them through. I wanted people that owned their own businesses that were like me. But what I discovered was everyone who owns their own business isn't necessarily like me. So it really kind of became a juxtaposition that I was kind of making up for the slack and lack on that side, even though I wasn't their boss and they weren't my employee and I didn't have to do the day-to-day management part of it.
Yeah, I think you said it's like I unloaded a husband and I acquired two others.
Yeah.
And I think the truth is there is a lot of emotional labor in the work that we do, whether you're a coach, a consultant, a service provider, an independent professional, and absolutely if you're a creative, and all the different hats that you wear, there's the creative, there's the administrative, there's whatever marketing you need to do, there's the sales, there's the admin, there's all of that stuff. And let's face it, with ADHD, we struggle with our executive functioning. And that shit gets used up when you're the one who's managing every project and making rain. You're the one who's going out and beating the bushes, and you're very amiable. And it's easy for you to develop relationships. But when I think of all the people who've said, I don't want to have a boss, I'm going to start my own thing, they don't actually want to take responsibility for wearing all of those hats. So finding someone like you, who is a genuine solopreneur and is willing to wear all those hats, that's like saying you have your own business, but having all the benefits of being an employee, really.
It really is. And I think in reference to my ex-husband, because I was about a year out of divorce when we started working together.
Yeah.
One of the things that I felt like was really emotionally taxing during my marriage was the fact that my husband essentially put me in the role of, you're the only breadwinner. So not only was I now paying my bills and making sure there was food on my table, it's like I'm sharing this now with a whole other person with a whole other set of bills and a whole other mouth to feed. And it just, the level of stress and responsibility that placed on me over the course of my marriage that was one of the very strong contributing factors to why I ended the marriage in the first place. And I kind of woke up and found myself right back in that position, because if I'm doing all the selling and I'm the one finding all the clients and all of this, like, I'm essentially the primary breadwinner of this group of business owners. And it's the pressure. You don't want to let them down. You don't want to, like, not find business. You don't want things to fall through the cracks. You don't want the client to be upset. Like, there's just so much emotional charge and all of that. And it's exhausting. I had just left it and I found myself right back in it again.
But even though our relationship was pretty new at that point, you said, I need to take some time and think about this. Abso-frickin-lutely. And you did pretty quickly, because there's actually a grieving process that goes on when we've been working with someone and we realize they're not like me. I'm just making this big old assumption that this is how I roll as a solopreneur. They're solopreneurs. They are probably the same way. That assumption benefited them at your expense. So you came back 2 weeks later, you sorted it out, you dealt with the feelings about it, the anger, the disappointment, the hurt, maybe the shame, like, why didn't I figure this out sooner? But it didn't affect our relationship. And I honestly felt like that could have gone a totally different way, because sometimes aren't ready to hear things that happen to fly out of my mouth because I think they're necessary and beneficial. That could have gone really sideways, but you had made a commitment to yourself in engaging me in this process, and you thought things through and said, okay, I got to figure this out. I got to decide how I want to think about it. And now I'm going to make some changes, which you came back after 2 weeks and said, so here's what I've decided. It was really impressive.
And I think there's something that you said in that time that really, I think, helped it sway one way versus the other. And that was that you weren't saying I couldn't work with these people. You weren't saying that I couldn't collaborate with them. What you were saying was you don't have to be the glue holding all of this together. Like, if you enjoy working with them, work with them. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, don't. And I think that that permission to just not have to be all or nothing really set the foundation for that time I took to think about it, to say, okay, well, what do I want? Because one of the people I was collaborating with, I've known for a long time. I really actually enjoy working with her a lot. We have a great creative vibe together. And knowing that I could just step back and not have to cut off was just the permission I think I needed to really look at the situation honestly and ask myself, what do I want out of this? Where do I want to be in this relationship and in this, you know, sort of co-working that we're doing? And I think that helped me just not think, no, Diane told me I can never talk to her again, you know, because that wasn't what you were saying. And so I think by vocalizing that during our last call, before I took that time to think, it really opened my mind to the possibility of you can craft what this relationship looks like.
Absolutely. I think, you know, sometimes if somebody shows up to a consultation and says, so I've taken this as far as I can on my own, and now I just need you to tell me what to do and I'll do it. And I'm like, I will do no such thing. I have raised 3 children pretty much as a single parent, and I'm not starting over with you. And also, I don't want anybody to be codependent on me. You know, like, my goal is, hey, here's what I see. Here's how I see it affecting you. And I think you have several options. You can continue as you are and maybe just tighten up your boundaries. You can continue in this relationship in a renegotiated way with a new set of conditions. Or you could say, I think I need to start dialing down on this and building something that doesn't require me to depend on people who are not as dependable as I am. But you're right. I think it's not my responsibility to tell you what to do, because something tells me you've had other people do that and it hasn't gone so well for you. You're like, just tell me what to do. So you were like, okay, what do I want to do? And that does take some thinking, because most of the time we're just doing what needs to be done and not thinking, well, if I could take this in any direction I want to. And you came back with a very clear plan.
Yeah. And I think it kind of led into helping support me through the next thing that comes up that we'll talk about. But it really was the first time that I really took a pause and said, you know, what do I want? What do I want to do? What do I want to get out of this business? Because I kind of had a 10-year career in marketing and web development before I ever started my business. And so when I kind of segued into my business, I kind of just kept going in my career. And when I had the time and the pause and the question laid before me, it was kind of like, oh, I'm just doing these things because I can, but do I really want to? Like, where is my passion in the business? Where do I get the most fulfillment out of the work that I'm doing? And that led to some really interesting clarifications for me as well.
That's such a good point, Steph, and I'm really glad you mentioned it, because most people who start their own business start it in the field that they've already been working in, right? It just makes the most sense because you've probably already got connections. You might already even have some leads. A lot of people I've worked with, their first client, once they go out on their own, is a previous employer. So it's what I call a soft landing. You know, you're not like just taking a flying leap off the building and, you know, figuring it out on the way down. You're like, oh no, I'm just kind of transitioning over. But talk about a blind spot. Most of us are completely unaware that with all this steam built up around, I don't want to have a boss anymore. I want to do my own thing. We literally recreate a job where we work more hours for less money and no benefits.
It's such an easy trap to fall into. It's so, especially when you're making that transition from full-time to self-employment. And it's funny you mentioned like your first boss, because I actually just finished a project for my first boss the other day. So not only was he my first boss way back in 2000, but he's still my client 25 years later. So,
well, we know you know how to do long-term relationships. So that is a good thing. But not all long-term relationships can run on autopilot. Sometimes they need to be revisited. So let's dig into, after that couple of weeks of, you know, shock and disbelief, and you went through the five stages of grieving that the business you thought you had is actually not the business that you had. You came back with a plan that put your ability to be present for your aging parents in a much more flexible and consistent way. Because after the divorce, you moved, you relocated so that you could be closer to your parents who were getting older, and thought, you know, I can scale and grow my business, but that's going to mean more emotional labor and more managing of people and all the headaches that I've already been dealing with for fuck ever. What if I right-size the business, depend on fewer people, and just make things easier for me to work a more reasonable number of hours and kind of be there, you know, if my dad needs to go to a doctor's appointment or my mom needs help with something, like I won't think, oh shit, I don't have time for this. I've got client deadlines. I've got this, I've got that. But very quickly after you made your new plan, the plot thickened even more.
Yeah. When I relocated here, it was to be closer to my parents, but both of my older siblings also live here with their spouses. So we kind of all congregated back. And in that pause, one of the things that I realized was just my parents are aging. I wanted to spend this time with my family. I wanted to make those memories while I still can and also have my business be successful. And that was very important to me, that balance. And then, you know, I was thinking 5-10 years, you know, I'm looking at my next plan. I'm going to have this balanced business, yada, yada. And like you said, have the ability to help my parents when I could. And then my dad went to the emergency room and it kind of all just spiraled from there. Just unexpectedly, he was not feeling well, and it turned out that after a lot of tests and x-rays, he had stage 4 lung cancer. So it was pretty much a ticking clock down to, you know, what's going to happen next. And I mean, I shut my business down. Like, I still had client projects that I was trying to work on, but I wasn't doing any marketing. I wasn't finding anything new. I was just 100% focused on my family. And going through that experience, I think solidified even more that for me personally, it is incredibly important that I have a balance between work and my family, because my dad unfortunately passed away about 54 days after that diagnosis. And there's apparently just a lot that one has to go through and deal with. It wasn't even me directly. It was really my mom going through it and then me trying to be there to support her. And it just became even more clear that the type of business that I was building had to be amenable to last minute, urgent. Mom's calling me at 10 a.m. because she's thinking about something and got to work on something. So it kind of almost a business that can be interrupted without me and my ADHD lack of focus getting scattered all over the place. So yeah, that's kind of the balance that I've been trying to strike in working with you is, you know, what does that business look like?
And you know what? I think one of the reasons why I've been so grateful that you were willing to come on the podcast with me and kind of recreate the story is because I think a lot of people would just think, oh my God, my life is just going fucking sideways and I cannot think about my business right now. I don't want to talk to you. Just like release me from my contract or put it on pause. Maybe I'll see you next year. Like I just need to do this. But you and I made the decision together to take a little pause and continue to work together, not to reinforce or sustain the business you have, but to redesign it for the future. Because even though your dad is now sadly gone, that puts even more focus on your relationship with your mom and your siblings. It also renewed your awareness that I'm not just going to hang it up. I'm not just going to say, I'm just doing this and maybe I'll get back to this later. You're like, no, I need to re-envision my business in such a way that it is portable. You know how I always talk about the swapping the on-off switch for a dimmer switch? I can dial it up when I can, and I can dial it down when I can't, and I can do so without letting people down, my family or my clients or myself, and I can make the money that I need to make so that I can continue to live the way I want to live and not be constantly stressing out and worried. Some of the things that we did, and it was just starting when your dad got sick, you were starting to refocus on what would it be like if I was just a solo operator. I was not collaborating with other people. I was not bringing in business that required other players. What if I redefined the scope of what I do? And we did that. And then we redefined the scope of who you do it for. Let's talk a little bit about those decisions.
Well, I think initially the decision to kind of focus in and say, you know, I want to work on projects that I can handle myself and I don't necessarily have to have other people involved in came from just a desire to get back to something simpler. Kind of the first 14 years of my business, that was how I had operated, collaborating with people when the project deemed it, but they were in other areas of specialty. So it was just like, I was coming in as the web and marketing person and they were like the operations person or something. And then I had kind of spent 2024 expanding into this, like, what would it look like model? And I didn't get what I wanted out of that. And I just wanted to go back to that simplicity where it was me and the client. And we were, I mean, I guess my 25-year relationship reinforces what I'm about to say, but I'd like to have that personal relationship with my client where it's me and them and we're like creating together and we're working on their business and their project. And I just, I lost so much of that collaborating with other people that I really missed that aspect of it. In simplifying and sort of getting back to that personal relationship, I really wanted to, you know, have that flexibility, like you said, being able to come and go on project work when I needed to come and go kind of thing. So it was very personal to me that I get back to what was most fulfilling in the business for me, which was those, that ability to have that personal connection with every client.
I think it's really fortunate when we can find our way back to the things we enjoyed the most. Sadly, it often takes some sort of trauma or tragedy to really reorient us to what matters most. And it's one of the reasons why I start my work with all of my clients with doing a values clarification exercise, because oftentimes, especially if you've been a business owner for a while, as you and I both have, the values that we had, the things that were most important to us when we started the business, sometimes I think of it as like losing the plot line. You know, it's like it's a series that just goes on for 8 seasons and you kind of forget, like, what was this all about? But also, there's so much noise in the online business space. All the big names are telling us scale, scale, scale. You know, if you are staying small, you're playing small and you're leaving money on the table and you have limiting beliefs. And it's like, I mean, I had a very successful career as a clinical social worker. I climbed up the food chain over a period of years and ended up being a clinical director of a huge agency. And I ended up being harassed. I mean, my last two jobs for other people, I got laid off for the one and only time in my life. And then I spent a year being harassed. And I decided, you know, this is a wake-up call. And what do I actually enjoy most about this field? And what I actually enjoyed most is the one-on-one, personal, intimate ability to have impact. And I still love that. Yes. Could I have a huge platform? Maybe. Could you have a huge platform? Maybe. You learned in a very painful way that that's not actually what has the most meaning for you. You don't love that. Maybe you love the idea of it, or maybe you've just heard so many messages that tell you that's what you're supposed to do.
Yeah.
You went with it.
Especially in the creative field, like the number one message to all creatives everywhere is you should be an agency. And it's like, not everybody wants to be an agency. The other thing that came out of that time and that thinking was just how adamant I am that self-employment should be a choice that everyone has. Mm. And just wanting to really help people like myself that were going from that full-time career into more of a consulting role. It was pretty easy to narrow down to a niche where it's like, oh yeah, B2B consultants, which is what I do in a marketing aspect. Mm-hmm. I want to help them grow. I want to help them have that polished professional online appearance that their expertise deserves, so that when they're representing themselves to a potential client or someone, you know, they feel that level of confidence because they're like, I know I look good. I know I sound good. I've got this. Like, I am the expert that I am, and I'm going to show that to you today.
You had a couple of other options, though, that we played around with. And I want to bring this up because this is so common and everybody thinks it's cringe and they think they're the only one that does it. But this whole business about, you know, narrowing down to your target market, your niche, your ideal client, because you've been doing this for so long, you've worked with so many different types of companies, and I could work with all these different people, but who are the group that I most want to work with and why? And I think we narrowed in and focused on, and you were, yep, this is it. I'm all in. We started mapping out the strategy for that. And then I think there was a moment of...
I came up with another one.
Yes, you did. Maybe not. I don't actually, at this point, I don't even remember what it was, but it was like within a few days, you're like,
Concierge doctors was what it was. Yes.
Yes. I had
done a project last year for a concierge OBGYN and just absolutely adored, loved working with her. Yep. She was just an amazing partner and project. And I continue to work with her to this day. So we started talking about, well, maybe instead of consultants, we look at concierge doctors because they don't have good marketing right now. Like they don't have a solution that's easy to go to. And we took that fork in the road and you went right down that road with me and we talked about it and went over the options. And then ultimately in the end, I came back to you and I said, you know, I'm really passionate about this group of people as well, but I think where I want to stick is with B2B consultants because that's just really where my heart is. And that's where I feel like I have the most experience and the most strengths to offer. And it's easy to find niches. It's really hard to find your niche is what I'll say.
Indeed. And also I want to say this, that the more experience you have and the more different types of folks you have worked with and enjoyed and gotten a good result from, it's like, well, I could do this. I could do this. I have done that. I mean, I got great results with these people. Oh, and let's not forget about those product-based companies. Like did stuff for them that we didn't even set out to do. Like you have this track record of success in all these different niches. It is incredibly hard, Steph, when that's the case, as it is with many folks with ADHD, because we like variety. And if something seems interesting or exciting or challenging or fun, or we just really fall in love with the client, we're like, I can do that. We don't think, shit, I've never done that before. This looks really hard. We're just like, I want to do it. And when I want to do something, I find a way to make it awesome, because that's how we roll. So being able to have that as your background and say, you know what? I could do this. I could do that. I could do the other thing, but I'm going to stick with this and feel good about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big part of it too, just in deciding between concierge medical and B2B consultants. It was like, she was great. The OBGYN was great. But how many doctors out there are going to be great like her?
Yep.
And I wasn't sure I could answer that question. But of all the consultants I've met over the years of my career, they've all been pretty great, minus a few outliers. But that's in every place.
And also, it's like you say, it's near and dear to your heart, because you are an independent consultant who works with businesses. So why not leverage that? I mean, you relate to their strengths, you relate to their struggles. And the biggest struggle most B2B consultants have is how to create an online presence that is aligned with their skill and expertise. And that's exactly what you do. So it's a good fit for them and it's a good fit for you. Now, after that, refined that and said, okay, I'm sticking with it. I may get a wild hair about something else that I feel like running off with, but we're not going to go there. We're just going to put a pin in it, in that butterfly, or let it fly away. This is what I'm doing. And pretty quickly after that, I have to say, one of the things that was so rewarding about working with you, Steph, is that when you made a decision, you went into action very, very quickly, and a prolific amount of action at that. So once we decided that, I think it was probably a week or so before you'd rebuilt your website and we started mapping out your marketing campaign. And I mean, you were just going for it.
We were going. Yeah. I think it was a week or 2 weeks. I redid my entire website, like the whole thing. And we repurposed some materials that I found on my Google Drive. Like, we were really able to tap into a good, what I think was like a core direction for the marketing and the messaging and where we wanted to take it. And, you know, for me, when I think about consultants, I think about, you know, reputation is everything. And a poor website design is a poor reflection on your reputation. So it's kind of the angle we took with that content. And I visited it the other day and reread through the whole website again. I'm so pleased with where it ended up. And I actually already had somebody send me a compliment on it the other day too. So that made me feel extra good.
Nice. And I think, you know, the ADHD creativity gets ignited when we feel a sense of clarity and confidence. When we're still in confusion, when we're still in, well, this or that, and yeah, but what if, and all that. It's okay to have some confusion. It's okay to have some doubt. It's okay to start going in one direction. And as a result of taking action in that direction, you realize, nope, this ain't it. That is not wasted time. That's not a mistake. That's not being lost. That's literally figuring it the fuck out in the doing. And that, I think, is one of the reasons why we had the outcome that we had. And even in the midst of trauma and loss, why you were able to end up where you wanted to. And I think, you know, you're very resilient, obviously, but more than anything, you are able to go from thinking, deciding, to acting quickly and decisively. And I think it makes such a huge difference. So many of us get caught up in the what if, and the, well, first I need to, and I better learn this thing first. And it's like, I think that we just keep adding to the prerequisites that we think we need to do before we can take action. I promise you, the ones who take action quickly figure things out faster. And you are a prime example of that.
Yeah. And I think too, just losing my dad had a big impact on me as well, in the sense that it was so sudden and so out of the blue that it just made me not want to dither on things anymore. Like, if it feels right and it feels good, I'm going to go for it. It's kind of become like my new mantra. And I think that the more we talked and worked together and kind of worked on the website and stuff, it was just like, this is it. Like, this is the right choice. And I'm all in on it because I'm not going to overthink it. I'm not going to dither about it. I'm just going to do it. And if it works out, great. If it doesn't, also great. Like, I'll have learned some stuff from it, but there's just no reason to wait. Like,
it's a different kind of urgency, right? Like, yeah. I think, unfortunately, a lot of folks with ADHD, you and I included, because we had conversations about this, it's like we manufacture urgency by procrastinating. Mm-hmm. We know there are things we need to do. We know that we need to make a decision. We know we need to figure something out. We know we need to rebuild our website. We know we need to hire a coach. We know we need to post more frequently on social media. We know we need to whatever, whatever. We know.
We know.
But usually we wait or futz around or overcomplicate things so that we're doing a bunch of things that don't actually move the needle because we're avoiding the thing that actually will help us figure out. You cannot figure out whether you're doing the right thing in your business in your head. You have to take action in the world. That is the only way to prove whether you're on the right path or not. You cannot do enough thinking. You cannot do enough planning. You cannot do enough preparing. You can't listen to enough podcast episodes or read books or watch people's webinars. You need to act. And I have so much appreciation for the fact that you were able to take advantage of the pain of your loss to realize life is short and you have no idea what's coming next. Don't wait. Don't wait. It's a totally different type of urgency. It's the reality that life is uncertain. And none of us can predict the future. Mm-hmm. So take action. Don't overthink. You will figure it out. And you are an embodiment of that.
Yeah, I don't know how many other people experience this, but I think that there's a certain level of fear in that procrastination in my brain. Like, my brain is thinking, oh, well, what if? So I put it off. And I just don't think we should be afraid anymore. Like, I think that when you have ADHD, it kind of can make you feel like an outsider. It kind of can stall you out. You don't quite have the normal norms of everybody else. But that's also what makes you super special. And, you know, I think leads to a lot of my creative energy and what I'm able to do and the work that I enjoy.
So the message is don't wait. Just don't wait.
Just go for it.
Well, hey, friend, that's a wrap. If you're a B2B consultant who's overdue for a website makeover, I highly recommend Steph's business, Blue Elephant Creative. And if you've been thinking about working with me and waiting for the perfect time, I hope our conversation convinced you there really isn't one. You can book a free consultation during the month of December, and we can get started in January. Links to both Steph's business and mine are right where you expect them to be, in the show notes.